What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hello, the internet. I am talking very loud because I'm excited that it is season 334, episode 5 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. Thank you for doing that. What was that?
I was trying to work
like
at it.
Japanese?
Yeah. Oh, well, because you do the ya.
Oh, like hi-ya?
No, no.
Oh, okay. I'm like, how Asian are we getting right now?
I was trying to switch it up. Okay. I got a hack Asian thing later. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. Arigato. Domo. But yes, this is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Friday, April 19th, 2024. It's Friday. I hope y'all are fucking ready to do whatever y'all do on the weekends. And I hope you enjoy it. But what is April 19th officially? It's National Clean Out Your Medicine Cabinet Day. Yes, because you're having a party with high schoolers coming over. Don't let them dig through your medicine cabinet. Mm-hmm. Clear all that shit out.
I have a feeling. 419, baby.
Yeah, right. 419. This feels like a thing where Big Pharma's like, get rid of your like expired meds so you can buy new ones. Like, it's kind of like what they're saying here. It's also National North Dakota Day, National Amaretto Day, National Garlic Day, National Oklahoma City Bombing Commemoration Day. Don't forget that. That was 419. And National Hanging Out Day. I know. It's such a, look, this is America, baby. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We got a lot on any given day here. It can be garlic. It can be, you know, right-wing extremism. Yeah. It can be both. Por que no los dos is what we always say in America. But anyway,
are you trying to make this show less white when on the days Jack is not here? Is that what you're doing?
I have to spread my trilingual wings. You know what I mean? I guess 2.5. I mean, my Spanish is pretty basic. But anyway. Yeah, because like you know, when I start speaking foreign languages, he does things like stop talking code around me.
I know. you gotta spread your wings while you can.
Hey, people who have mixed families like that, where a parent is an immigrant, I know some American families, or they say like if foreign language was discouraged in that home. Luckily, on this show, we don't discourage it here. We embrace it.
That's right.
But guess what? I'm Miles Gray, aka, and I said, hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. I said, hey, my voice is gone. Oh, my God. My voice is gone because I was screaming Four Non-Blondes while I was doing karaoke in Japan. That is a reference. Shout out to Cleo Universe for my voice. The first couple of days was real touch and go because I'm pretty sure I blew like a whole vocal cord screaming.
That's good.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing about when I'm not a great singer, but a little bit of alcohol in me, I will scream like my life depends on it. But anyway, I'm thrilled to be joined by my guest co-host, a fantastic person, my new lunch homie. You know what I mean?
We had lunch.
We have salty salads, is what we do. We eat very salty food when we hang out. It does what it does.
I needed some water afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I drank. I couldn't believe how parched I was after that salty salad. Anyway, and look, he's a fantastic writer, comedian, producer. He does everything in this town. He even hosts a podcast. You already know it. It's the legendary podcast, Yo, Is This Racist? Please welcome to the microphone, Mr. Andrew T.
I came up with an A. I was trying to think of an AKA this morning, and I was like, if I was a different, like, you know, stand-up type Joe Rogan podcast person, they would have called me Andrew T., Fake Mr. T, a.k.a. B.A. Abacus.
Oh, wow.
And I couldn't get that out of my head, even though it's both racist and whack. Yeah. So that's what I'm bringing to the table.
You say B.A. Abacus. You know what I mean?
I was riding that line, and then it was time to record. So yeah. That's where I'm at.
I get it. Well, guess what, Andrew? We have a fantastic guest today.
Yes.
Someone who's a fantastic actor. Comedian, improviser, also does many things, also has a fantastic podcast, Jocular, a podcast like from a queer sports angle, okay? And it is a newly arrived podcast, I believe, only launched in March of this year on Adam McKay's Hyper Object Industries. Please welcome to the microphone the brilliant, the talented, the athletic, Katie Kershaw!
Hello.
Welcome, Katie. How are you? Thank you for joining us. This is your first time on the show. Thank you.
It is. This is amazing. Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome. I have two other hosts to the podcast, and you've got the least athletic one.
Okay. Well, hey,
still
look,
better than you know. Us. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I also talk about sports too, but I do it seated, and I dream of doing the things I talk about in the sports podcast.
Right.
What's your sports like? Did you play a lot of sports? Do you like, how did you get into sports that led to now hosting a sports podcast with your home?
Well, I grew up in Kentucky, which is basketball country.
Right.
So it's kind of like ingrained in you. Everyone in my family played basketball. You grew up watching basketball. Mm-hmm. And I played it as a kid. And then at one point, the coach, who was like my mom's best friend, I was in like fifth grade, tried to send me into the game. And I said, I can't. I'm having a conversation. And then at that point,
yeah,
he came up to my mom and was like, I just don't think she's got it.
Wow.
So,
no. And yeah. then the podcast scouts were there. We're like,
I know.
We actually got the perfect.
Hold on.
Okay. She's watching basketball and she's talking.
Having conversations.
We've got a great idea.
Yeah.
Call Adam McKay now. Now.
Yes. Not yesterday. Get him on the phone.
Now. I don't care if podcasts aren't invented yet. They're a thing. Mm-hmm. They're going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, dope. It's great to have you. Where are you coming to us from? Are you in the city of Angels as well?
I am. Yes. Highland Park.
Side. You know what I mean? I've been going to Highland Park a lot. Like, I feel like I'm at Hermosillo like every other weekend for someone's birthday.
Oh, this
is
good.
It's so easy. It's such an easy location.
Yeah. It's like outside. You don't have to worry about anything. You could bring a baby. You could bring a dog. Great. Come on through.
You can bring a baby dog. They're not vaccinated yet.
They got Frickles, you know, always a plus when you got fried pickles. Why are you laughing? You don't like, do you like fried pickles, Andrew?
You said Frickles with such confidence and
Frickles, you know, like it's like my homie.
Frickles.
Yeah.
Like I get it. I just am a little too familiar. A little too familiar.
Wow.
The formal name, the Christian name of fried pickles.
Yeah.
Pickles.
Right. Deep fried pickled cucumbers is what we like to say around here.
I'm just saying. It just felt like too much.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. I mean, look, I'm a Frickle freak, baby. I like it. Yeah.
I hate it.
You know that song, Down on Cripple Creek? They say, this man is a Frickle freak. Anyway, I auditioned for the band and I did not get in. But anyway, here we are. Let's give the listeners a preview. We won't be talking about our health food habits, but we will be talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene is now ironically leaning into her former anti-Semitic conspiracy theory, or maybe she's being serious. She wants to bring back the space lasers, but for real this time. We'll ask about that. We'll also ask, what's happening with New Yorkers? Because there is a bacterial infection that is on the rise that is due to a substance that seemingly feels very New York, but it's also a bit of a, it kind of freaks me out, this story. And while we're in New York, we'll talk about the New York Times, not about their amazing journalism, but their amazing games, their puzzle games. and why therapists are worried now that they're seeing a bit of a trend in the wrong direction with some of the New York Times puzzle games. And then we'll just check in with the Trump jury selection process because it's a fucking circus already. People are getting impaneled and then immediately people are like, yeah, can't do it. Sorry. Nope. I don't think I can be objective here. I have too strong an opinion on this. Yeah. Or maybe they realize it could lead to a lot of harassment. We just don't know, but we will talk about that. All that, many other things. But first, KK, is it okay if I call you KK?
Oh, yeah.
Do people call you KK?
Yeah, it's like definitely a back home nickname.
Yeah, yeah. No, for like, sure. That feels like a high school nickname for sure. Yeah,
for sure.
Well, I will be, like I am familiar with Frickles, I will be familiar with how I refer to you, Katie Kershaw. What is something from your search history or a recent screenshot on your phone that says a lot about who you are, reveals something about who you are?
I didn't even think about a recent screenshot.
You don't have to. Just if you have either one works. I feel like they're equally telling.
Yeah. Oh, well, that screenshot can't share. I would say
exactly.
I was looking at my search history and my girlfriend and I just moved. So it's really kind of house oriented. Mm-hmm. So I looked up guide to buying a washer.
Oh, yeah.
So if anyone has any tips on buying a washer.
Yeah.
I need them.
We're adulting, huh? We're now.
Yeah.
Our
hard.
Purchases. Yeah. It's not like
hard.
Which vaporizer can fuck up five people at once? It's what do I need high efficiency? Do I need a front loader?
Right.
Do I need a top loader? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Did you end up like on like Wirecutter or like one of those things that Google inevitably is like, hey, they pay us enough to put their results up top?
Yes, of course I did. I was on a Best Buy guide. Yeah. I was everywhere. I think I don't know what we'll go. We're looking at a bunch of options.
Yeah.
This is so lame, but it's going to be a top loader.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Front loader, there's like, you get mold like in the ring of it because it never dries out.
Yeah, that, or sometimes you get like old, like if you use those pods, I've noticed like old detergent will collect like in the front and I have to like constantly like scoop out goop. No, it's like it looks like primordial ooze.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I bought my first non, like, off a guy in Craigslist appliance. Like, I did get, like, somewhere in 2021, maybe, like, a new washer dryer. And I, turns out, do my exact same thing I do when I'm getting wine, which is I just straight up got the second cheapest one. And it's so far, it's been fine.
I feel that. Because, I mean,
I'm like, I don't know. I don't want the cheapest one, I think.
Exactly. I mean, I feel like for the most part, they're sturdy, but I don't know. Zeitgang, if you know a lot about washing machines, please, please do reach out to Katie or I, and I can pass information along. What do we need to be looking for? Because like, in my mind, I'm like, does it clean? Okay. Like, I don't need it to do like infrared whatever or be connected to the, just don't get anything that's connected to the internet. I would just say that. We don't need.
Oh, God, no.
Because I saw a thing about how people's appliances like that are connected are downloading a lot of information, like to point where, you're like,
obviously
why is it using this much of my internet? So the internet of things is kind of, let's get away.
Oh my God, I just realized I just, because it started getting warm in Los Angeles, turned on my new window unit AC that does have internet connectivity, and I do think my like household bandwidth has gone down.
It does, for real?
Oh really?
Now I'm probably making a connection that isn't there, but as you say it, now I'm like, it's the fucking AC.
Right. It's like the old dad thing. It's like, too many of you guys are on the internet right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get that. All right, Katie, what is something you think is underrated?
Something I think is underrated is the Costco chicken bake.
Oh. Yeah. Go on.
I feel like all of the attention, all of the t-shirts, all the merchandise is about the hot dog.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's delicious. Don't get me wrong. I love the hot dog.
Of course.
But do I leave wanting a little bit more? Yeah. And too full.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't balance it out, but the chicken bake feels like I'm getting everything together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you. Thank you for saying this, actually. Not enough people.
Oh, my God.
People,
of course.
Because we all know one hot dog does not make a meal. That's just, it is what it is. We're from America. Like, the hot dog is like a half bag of chips, basically.
And that hot dog is too big to justify two of those.
Right.
Hot dogs.
Yeah.
You want 1.5 of those.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Right. Three per couple, basically.
Yeah.
Is sort of how we like, you know, here, I don't know if you've been here before. We kind of do it family style. I would probably say for, you know, the two of you, probably go with three of the hot dogs.
Everyone has a hot dog, and then you Lady and the Tramp the other hot dog.
Exactly.
Correct.
Exactly.
Correct. With whoever you're with, regardless of what relationship.
Is like the chicken bake, the filling is basically like just cheese and bacon and flavor. You know what I mean? Like how do you describe it in a culinary aspect?
The way that my mouth is watering right now. I would say the flavor profile of the chicken bake is complex.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Uh-huh.
You are not going to be able to kind of nail it down upon first bite.
Right.
Because you have the crunchy Parmesan on top.
Mm-hmm.
The bread is nice and fluffy, but not too much because it's still like half crust.
Yeah, it has to hold it in. Right.
Yeah. So the filling, from my sense memory, is chicken, bacon, cheese, and almost like a Caesar-y type dressing.
Yeah. I'm looking at the official description now. It's chicken breast strips, mozzarella, provolone, Parmesan cheeses, smoky bacon, creamy Caesar dressing, and green onions.
That's green onions?
That's what the green is.
That's the secret.
Yeah.
That's a vegetable. And this might be apocryphal, but I feel like I heard that it basically came like when you're stoned and 14 and working at a fast food restaurant and you just like put it together. Cause I thought it was supposed to be the pizza dough. And then they like took the famous Costco chicken pieces and then just cracked open their like pre-made Caesar salad box and like threw all that shit together basically.
Oh my God.
Well, genius. If that's what happened.
Are you down with Costco lore like that?
I the answer is yes.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Wow.
But I just don't know if this is false or like a fun little story, but I believe that is like all the ingredients are off the shelf components of other shit they already had in the store.
Right. Well, hey, I mean, look, again,
it's like building a car at AutoZone. You're like, check this shit out.
Right, except there's no frame or doors or
the
other.
But we made it.
It's like, man, we got a pedal, no engine, but I mean, this shit can kind of go downhill.
It works.
Technically. Yeah.
It's got lights.
It'll move.
Got a shitload of wiper blade fluid. I'll tell you that. Shitload of windshield fluid. We got a ton of that. And, you know, some loose wheels. Katie, what's something you think is overrated?
Overrated, I think giving friends advice. Mm-hmm. I think it's the worst idea. We should stop doing it.
Okay. Give me an example. Put me in the situation where I'm fully embracing this take.
Okay, so if somebody is like, I'm seeing this guy and I just don't know, what do you think? I'm not dating that person. I don't know what they're like intimately. I don't fucking know. We don't have the same taste.
Right.
First off, wouldn't date a man anyway.
Right.
So I can't really help you there.
Sure, yeah.
And like, if we're friends.
You lost me when you said, I'm dating this guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck do I tell you right now?
I don't know.
If we're friends, then we have the same probably like mental illness. Like we have the same problems. Like
comorbidities, emotional comorbidities.
Yeah. I'm not the person. And I'll probably not like the person you're dating anyway.
Ooh.
So I'll might just be like, nah. Or maybe he's nice and has like good snacks and is really friendly. Then I'll say, hang on to him.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah.
I've been in situations like that. I agree. Now I'm like, now that you say it, I'm like, There are friends you have who have like the weirdest dating habits. And it does get to a point like, I don't know if there's a fucking thing I can say to you that will help because there are so many other shits that are like entangled in this that it's not just what do I do? Do I like dump them? I'm like, I don't know if that's the actual solution to what's going on here. Just generally speaking.
Yeah. Like they're not the problem.
Right. It's like, from my perspective, you are actually the problem. But I don't.
As someone who's seen every relationship, had.
It's for me, you're the common denominator here. I don't know what else to say aside from like you do better. I don't know.
It also is very unlikable to point out people's real flaws. It turns out,
Turns out,
Yeah.
So people don't like it.
Yeah. It was like, well, it just feels like, you know, like you kind of don't like being single, you know, like the second you're off one, you're on to the next. And I feel like it's really those spaces in between, as Dave Matthews says, that you could really just kind of find yourself and maybe make a better decision. Like, you don't know everything about me. You don't know what's going on with me. I'm like, then, see, this is why, just let's just not fucking talk about this. Let's not talk
about it. Right, right. Yeah, and those friends that come to you for every life decision, it's like, I really, truly don't know.
Yeah.
We could talk about it. I'll just help you decide where we're eating dinner.
Right. Right, exactly. Lower
stakes. Besides that, let's like kind of talk shit and watch TV.
KK, every time you say we just should just get chicken bakes. Every time. Can we say something else? And every time I ask you for relationship advice, you always ask me if I've looked in the mirror recently.
Oh, wow. Just to go back a little tiny bit, I felt like I didn't want to say this because it would reveal too much about myself. But did you guys see the shit on the internet where people were getting one Costco dog a chicken bake? You bite off the top of the chicken bake like a cigar and then jam the hot dog inside.
No! Oh, no. Whoa. Oh, no. That is fucking wild. No, I did not see that shit.
I would eat it, but...
I feel like that's a bridge too. We don't need to mash it up. You know what I mean?
Listen,
I don't like glizzies in unexpected places is not something I'm really like.
What about glizzies in a white cream and a hot Caesar dressing?
Wait, I'm back now. Actually, now that you say it like that, yummy. Wait, but wouldn't it displace a ton of the filling?
It's going to be a mess.
You just got to loosen it up.
TikTok really made it seem like this was not
that was not the hard part. The structural part is not the hard part. Don't get hung up on the engineering.
Right.
Don't My worry about ass. That I'm shit. Like,
but the filling displacement that is bound to occur when you insert an object with that kind of volume.
That's the least of your problems, bro.
Yeah.
What do you do with the bun? You just have a loose bun?
Just toss it.
I think you do just have a loose bun.
No, that's your napkin now. Or maybe that's your like bake
that's
absorbing.
That's where the filling goes.
Yeah. It plops out the bottom into your bun and then you eat This is getting so gross. But do people like it? Or people saying like, dude, this is the bomb, like adding hot dog to chicken bake?
I mean, I think the problem with especially, I don't want to say the kids today, but with the kids today on their internet and their apps, is you're so incentivized to be like, this is amazing.
Yeah,
that there's no way to know. You're not supposed to be on TikTok being like, that's all right. I probably won't finish this.
Right. Yeah. It's because that's I remember early on, like in the pandemic when people were like these like Midwestern nurses were trying like Indian food for the first time. And they're oh my God, y'all. Yeah. Like this. Chicken tikka masala. I don't know. It's so good. It's like, oh my God, I've never had flavors like this. Yeah. What about did you see when people were drinking beer with a glizzy straw?
Ew.
Yeah. And people are like, don't knock it till you try it. I'm like, dude, No.
Yeah.
It's like fucking, there's no planet. And then you don't want like a ice cold beer soaked fucking Frank to eat at the end.
Oh God.
Just no.
It's really, I mean, look, 90% of the food content on this is me, hot take.
There you go. Yeah, we know.
Is truly it's because people cannot fucking cook. And so all of the life hack industry is like every one of those gadgets, if you know how to use a knife, you would not need this thing, you fucking moron.
Right.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's exactly. So weird. And I do think genuinely it's because there's not like home ec in high schools anymore.
Well, I didn't even have home ec in high school.
I barely did.
Did they have it?
We
in
didn't
Michigan?
Have it.
Yeah, it was phased out by the time.
Yeah, there was none.
Yeah. Wow. Because
it's women's work and. It truly, it was like, I was like, oh, this is the only class that taught me something useful in high school.
They're like, you need to get in that wood shop, man. Fuck around learning how an oven works.
Yeah, I'm going
to
be making a lot of fucking benches in my life. Get the fuck out of here.
No, I'm going to be biting the end off a chicken bake and fucking tossing in a glizz. All right. Let's take a break and take an antacid tablet just from thinking about that. And we'll be right back after this.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. The things we talk about between segments, it's truly, it could be its own podcast. But here we are talking about the news and Marjorie Taylor Greene. So look, she famously blamed wildfires on, quote, Jewish space lasers. And many people are like, these are the kinds of anti-Semitic, like racist freaks that we're electing into Congress. And, you know, but doesn't really like to talk about it now that she's in office, even though it's like one of the things a lot of people are like, that's the kind of stuff that Marjorie Taylor Greene talks about. I don't know if you saw that clip from earlier this year where a reporter from the UK asked her about it and it did not go well. Did you guys catch this? Here, allow me to refresh your memory.
Oh, thanks.
So this reporter asked about the kinds of people that are attracted to the Republican Party and the conspiracy theories that abound on the right.
That support Donald Trump love conspiracy theories, including yourself. He seems to attract lots of conspiracy theorists.
Well, let me tell you, you're a conspiracy theorist, and the left and the media spreads more conspiracy theories. We like the truth. We like supporting our Constitution, our freedoms, and America first. So,
what about Jewish space lasers? Tell us about Jewish space lasers.
No, why don't you go talk about Jewish space lasers, and really, why don't you fuck off? How about that?
That's what we call got him.
Oh my God.
Easy. I love how it's that dry delivery. Why don't you tell us about Jewish space lasers? You know what? Well, why don't I love how again, why don't you? And then it just had to turn into, why don't you fuck off?
Yeah. Couldn't get it out of her mouth. Why don't you think, fuck you?
Yeah. Like, yeah, truly, like when you get like owned in like some, in like a roast battle or something in middle school where like you're, it fries your circuits and you actually have no more comebacks and you just have to go, why don't you fuck off?
It's yeah. so weird. I mean, yeah. the whole thing was just like, why don't you? Well, why don't you? You're yeah. spreading.
Your conspiracy like, series is.
Oh, no, man.
Okay.
She's
thanks.
A child. She's a child yeah. and it works.
Yeah. yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's what sucks the most, because what do you say to someone when they're like, actually, you're doing conspiracy theories? Yeah. you respond with, no, you are.
No.
And then it's just endless.
Actually, it's you. No, I would posit that you have the record of disseminating yeah. conspiracy theories. Yeah. I actually don't. You're the fucking conspiracy theorist. Oh, okay. Then
okay.
Then we'll just go back and forth here. Yeah. But then she went on social media and Marjorie Taylor Greene and claimed she would like an amendment to the Israel-Ukraine aid bill that would allow the U.S. to use Israel's, for whatever reason, space lasers on migrants at the fucking border. She said, I've previously voted to fund space lasers for Israel's defense. And it's like that there's, again, there's yeah. no such fucking thing. You're probably trolling at this point. America needs to take our national security seriously and deserves the same type of defense for our border that Israel has and proudly uses. And what are we talking about, like some shit from that, like the movie The Creator, where like you just want a fucking beam to come down from the heavens and just like vaporize everything? And it's, I don't know if she's conflating The Creator with actual technology. Mm-hmm. Either way, it's just very weird. Like if she's trolling, you're using this like dumb anti-Semitic conspiracy theory to then fold that into a bill where you're talking about Israel, like an aid package to Israel. And you're like, this is like the weird, most fucking American joke or non-joke take I've ever heard. So yeah, yeah, that's where we're at with this one. It's
she's so unhinged.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
so fucking unhinged. Like it is like when you're talking to like a crazy person, you can't ask them too many questions. Like, cause like we're not gonna get to the root of this, but I want to like dive into her brain and be like, but where? When? Yeah.
She
who created this? Did yeah. you read it?
Like, right. It's like that thing, I bet people like how comedians will go like full right wing when they're like, nah, I think my material will do a bit. Like, I think I can get more attention if I do this.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
seems to just, she does that, but with like even less, like with zero talent, and is just purely like a zombie set to like attention and just does whatever it takes, like literally whatever it takes.
I think there's at some point in like 2000, I guess like 16, 17, somewhere in there, it feels like she maybe just got like the memento disease. And it's just like she has like a set of like not principles, but like ways to react, but doesn't really know what the facts are going to be. So she right. just like does the thing.
Yeah. Like John G killed your wife. Like she has to yeah. look at her tattoos every morning. Like,
okay.
Like,
yeah. yeah. Space lasers. Uh-huh. Was right, the space lasers thing embarrassing or was it cool?
The constant.
Israel. Okay.
Yeah. right. Oh, I'm doing some just free form word association here. And I think that's what happened. But yeah, I mean, again, just shows like how further and further we get to be having like a serious government, and that could like there's how do we expect fucking anything when
right.
like, you know, I would argue 3/4 of Congress, and that's being generous, is filled with people who are not really thinking about like lived outcomes for people. It's more like,
yeah.
how do I keep the ride going of being able to put congressperson in front of my name?
This is what happens when you give white people the right to vote. I'm sorry. We could have avoided all this.
Could have avoided it.
We've had it for too long.
Yeah. we don't have a good track
it would
record.
Be, I think it would be good if we just took a pause.
Yeah.
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, just think we just need a pause.
Yeah.
Just for like the exact amount of time that other people, it should just be flipped, the right to vote, for as long as you've had it, you don't have it, and vice versa.
Right. Right. Right.
I'm fine with okay. that.
Yeah.
Just to see.
Completely.
Just to see what happens. Well, couldn't be worse.
No, honestly, couldn't at this point. Like, if we somehow were like, yeah, man, well, we voted, you know, Oprah president somehow. Yeah. That's how that vote went. You're like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think things will get better. They won't get worse. Nope. But I think the capitalists could trust a President Oprah though too. So I think things would move pretty well.
I mean, yeah. It's so interesting watching this also type of right wing anti-Semitism because she's also voting to send $26 billion
to Israel.
So I like what is happening here?
I know. That's why it's such a head fuck. Like just when you look at all the layers of it, you're like, you're putting this language in a bill that's proposed aid to Israel and Ukraine, but then being like, but you know, there's space laser technology they got. You're like, what?
Yeah. That's like the evangelical, like Christian. I don't really know her church life.
I think you could make a pretty good guess.
Yes. Yeah.
They still haven't got the lead paint and asbestos out of there. Yeah.
they need Israel to exist, right? Like they have to have it to exist.
And they need the holy war to start the end of the world sequence for Jesus.
Right.
Come back.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I grew up Baptist in the South, like the most anti-Semitic people, like not my family where I grew up, but are those people that are like, but we have to protect Israel. And I'm like, is going on?
Because when it all blows up, Jesus can come back.
Yeah. Oh. I guess that's the part that, it seems like a contradiction, but it's just not.
Yeah, because it's wrapped up in some other weird ass magical thinking.
Yeah.
Where it's like, and then what? Gas will be cheaper? When Christ returns, what are we fucking saying here? But like,
when he
Light.
Comes back, where is he going? Is he staying for long?
Like, where does he live?
What is the story?
Is Jesus gonna be like, hey man, can I crash somewhere? And they're like, oh yeah, please, Jesus, please, crash at my place. You're gonna love it. I got pictures of you everywhere.
Ooh.
I didn't
kind of awkward,
little awkward, considering the fact you don't look like this sort of anglicized version that I thought you were.
Yeah.
Are you sure you're Jesus? Because your hair's kind of curly.
Yeah. That's the real thing. Real Jesus, real Jesus showing up is probably in a detention cell like a Texas type situation. Yeah.
And broaden out too. Like Jesus was a community organizer too. You know what I mean? Like who'd you work for? Obama? Like sure. Whatever. All right. Let's move on to New York City. So going through a lot right now between the Trump legal circus and having Mayor Eric Adams, it's just the city could use just some good news.
Just a win.
You know? Yeah. Just a win right now. And sadly, this story is not that at all.
Depends which side you're on, but yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, the city is in the midst of record-breaking infections for the life-threatening bacterial infection known as leptospirosis. This is something that can cause a wide range of symptoms, including non-specific ones like fever, headache, chills, muscle aches, vomiting, diarrhea, cough. But if it goes untreated, can be severe and life-threatening: kidney failure, liver damage, jaundice, hemorrhage, bloody eyes, respiratory distress. And you're probably asking yourself, how does one become sick with this bacteria? Well, the main culprit for transmission is rat piss. Once rats are infected, they shed it through their urine and it jumps to humans through direct contact with open wounds and mucous membranes. You can already tell this story is not going to be happy and it's probably going to shed a larger light on issues we have societally. But just to give you perspective, between 2001 and 2020, the city averaged about 3 cases per year. But the pandemic led to a rat boom. Is that a thing you'd say? A rat boom?
Yeah.
A rat boom.
People will be saying that.
Yeah. It was a rat boom. And the population just exploded. And by last year, the city had 24 cases in a single year. They went from 3 a year, it 8x'd pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And a lot of headlines are like, ha ha, rat piss. But the reasons that the cases are going up are connected with dire living and working conditions and climate change. Obviously, because someone who is living in a, you know, their brownstone that they've owned probably isn't interacting with like rat urine or things that have been, you know, contaminated with it. Because like in those instances, a living or working environment with like that means it's in the soil or maybe materials that are frequently contaminated with rat urine, like trash bags or food waste bins. And also the other thing is that like the bacteria itself is very fragile. So experts are like, usually they die in extreme heat or cold. So that only leaves like a very specific window for infections to go up. But because of the warmer and wetter temperatures due to fucking climate change.
Thank you for bringing some sense.
So I was worried. I don't know, man.
It's actually pretty cold for LA right now.
I'd argue we're cooling. Where's your global warming now?
Well, I guess. So I like that we got new words for summer now. Okay, cool. Well, yeah, global warming.
I don't even know which side we're on anymore.
it's more fun to be unserious and anti-scientific. And also because it allows you to deny the dire situation, I think is why it's more fun to be like, this is not happening. But yeah, so it's just extended the window. And now they are really trying, like Eric Adams was like, trying to do a war with the rats and saying like they could maybe potentially sterilize the rats with like heavily salted pellets that they eat. All of them are not, you know, maybe housing Hold security, on. Maybe housing
security. Is he pitching a teeny tiny chicken bake with a hot dog in it for every rat in New York City?
If so, I'm on board. Yeah. Mayor Adams, contact me.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Katie suddenly has rat makeup on. She's like, yeah, man, I'm out here having too many. Give me that pellet, please. They're like, they're not actually chicken bakes. Oh, man.
I thought New York had like a rat czar.
They did have a rat czar.
And what happened to the rat czar?
I know. Hey, Katie, why is the rat czar on trial right now? You know what I mean? I'm sure that's exactly. This story should also be like, what about the fucking rat czar? Y'all hired someone to be the NYC rat czar. And we're still talking about this?
And also summertime sandals. So many people are going to get rat piss on their feet.
Yeah. Luckily, don't have, you know, again. Well, the other thing is, too, it's the 98% of the infections have occurred with men. So I don't know.
Okay.
Men do with that information what you will. Yeah. But I have a feeling, again, it's like it's people in dire situations. I don't think you're going to get
it.
You're not going to get it to your feet. Even though Times Square feels like it might have a lot of rat pee everywhere, you're probably fine. The last time, if you look up what's been going on with the rat czar, the last headline I saw, the rat czar says, stop feeding the pigeons if you want the rats gone.
Don't fuck with the pigeons. That's not your job.
The rat czar, I feel like, I think, are we kicking the rat can down the road here, rat czar? By saying like, stop. Well, first of all, like, I can't do my job if everyone's feeding the fucking pigeons. It's an impossible task.
And the way Eric Adams runs New York, he might as well make them, these various people, dress up as their jobs. So should be someone in a rat costume yelling at someone in a pigeon costume.
Right.
Oh, I would love arguing. That.
Right.
It might
right.
as well. It would not be less effective
yeah.
than Mm-mm. the current government.
Oh, dude, you know what else they've been doing? According to the rat czar, Kathleen Karate has also said they've been pumping carbon monoxide into the rat burrows. So they're just, it's all out chemical warfare. This
into the rat burrows?
Into the rat burrows, as they call it.
It's like the queens of rats. Like, we go to the Bronx of rats.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So anyway, that's where we are with the rat problem. Let's stick around New York by really talking about the New York Times. Do y'all play Wordle, the game Wordle? Familiar? I think we're all familiar, right, with the game Wordle?
Yes, yes. Okay. Yes. I used to play every day, and then as soon as I used the same word every day, and as soon as that got, like, the number one,
oh,
I was like, I can't return. I was like, I'm done.
I have too much to say about Wordle. So well,
okay,
I'm
let me set
you...
this up. Let me set the table, and I will allow you to say more than enough. So it's huge. And I think, again, we've either played it ourselves, or we know someone who plays religiously. But now the New York Times puzzle game and a few of the other games, too, have mental health professionals a little concerned because they're hearing more and more people be like, I can't focus on anything but Wordle or doing these other games, or I'm spending an inordinate amount of time playing the game. They're just saying, like, they're doing stuff like, I can't do my job, or others be like, I've canceled plans with like close friends so I could just kind of Wordle out. I think these are probably more severe cases, but enough therapists have heard enough that the Daily Beast is like, let's just survey some therapists really quick and hear how many people are hearing this. And apparently it was more than just a few. One of the therapists said, Some of her patients have expressed anxiety about the puzzles because they cannot finish them or don't have enough time to do them every day. Or others have said, one therapist said, seen anxiety in patients who fear being asked about their scores by their peers or comparing their own scores with those posted on social media. Quote, this is one from Dr. Lauren Schweitzer, a psychologist, said, people are thus looking for external validation or something from other people rather than looking for something within themselves, perhaps. Yes, very zen. On the flip side, it's self-judgment when we feel like we sucked at something people are doing.
That's so weird.
I'll just say my piece. I'm so competitive that if I'm bad at something, I say, man, fuck this game, and I stop playing. So I never got hooked on Wordle because the first couple of times I was asked that, I'm like, man, this ain't for fan. Fuck this shit. And I went on with my life.
Wordle is a guessing game for idiots. It is not a real game. Right. There's no skill, really. Yeah. The thing is, it's like people are like, I got it in two. It's like, then you guessed it. It's fine, but you didn't anagram it. You didn't do like a high level, like letter frequency analysis after your first guess. You just got lucky, which is like fine. But like, it's not really losable unless you're incredibly unlucky or like really not good at games.
Right.
But I would just throw out, because there's lots of like, you know, like dopamine hit phone games for bozos that are out there. I would just posit that Wordle hits a particular group because it's people who think they are smart but also are more likely to have like the means or live in like the culture to like have a mental health professional, for instance.
Right.
And this is not materially different than Candy Crush or like fucking whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
Farmville or whatever.
It's a guessing game for bozos. It's a little finger tappy thing that you get rewarded. It's like blackjack or a slot machine. And it is as addictive as those things, but we only hear about Wordle because they are New York Times readers.
Yeah,
the dumbest of the New York Times readers.
They're on their couch. Oh, doctor.
Yeah.
I was supposed to have dinner at Cipriani's.
Yeah.
And I couldn't because I was playing Wordle. And I was
humiliated for not getting the Wordle. But I will say, in the early days of Wordle, I was like, this is idiotic. What's the actual pack of words? So it's not about like, basically, I came up with the maximum. The game that I found fun was trying to think of four words that covered as many letters as possible without, you know, duplication or anything like that. So perpetually, my first four Wordle moves, and this is for me more than everyone, and you can find others, but I was proud of coming up with darts, chink, globe and jumpy. And that only leaves QWFZXV unused. And so after that, it is trivial to get it.
Truly, that is only for you.
Yeah.
They'll be like, hey, Katie, what words do you use? All right. Jumpy, you're like,
when New York Times bought it, they stopped letting you use chink. And then, so I think they may have put it back, but that's what I got. I was like, fuck these people. I can say it.
Don't take away my innate advantage here.
But yeah,
you don't need the left to babysit you and the words you use.
Thank you. But no, it's like this, especially when you have the U placed, it's like that essentially knocks the Q off the. I like word games, and this is like for idiots.
Well, I think because you probably arrived there by being like, it's not like it's just about the brute force of trying to eliminate letters rather than like inherently, because there's no clue, right? Like it's just
there's no clue.
It's just you put the first word in, and then you have to narrow it down from there.
Yeah, I think if you were a very high level like computer, you could probably do some sort of like fucking frequency analysis or whatever,
right?
But that's not what people who are, quote, good at Wordle are doing.
Right, right. Well, they have
a thing to analyze your words after now.
Right.
Yeah. So
they
it's like the word, the word bot, like, and you just click on it, it shows like, okay, you got it in four. Most people got it in three. This is the most commonly used start word. Like,
right. Yeah.
It goes
I think
deep.
That data is biased, though, because I think a lot of people that don't give up at or go past four who would, if they played the whole game, end up at five or not getting it, just close the thing.
Right, right.
I don't think most people get it at three because it's not like you can't. I mean, not that you can't, but it's not like worth. You're just guessing.
Yeah.
You like Katie did at three.
Katie, did it ruin your life? What was your journey with the Wordle?
With Wordle, there was a time where it was like sharing scores back and forth, like my sister and I, very competitive. And then I just kind of stopped doing Wordle. And then I had a resurgence because a friend of mine started sending me his score. So we like didn't really even communicate outside of that. Our text chain was just like Wordle scores. And then I got it in one and was like, okay, I've done what I can do. Yeah, but now every morning, my girlfriend and I get up, we drink coffee and play Connections, the mini and the big crossword. And our day doesn't really start until those three things are done.
Wow.
Yeah. And Connections can really kind of move your day back and forth.
If you like Connections, so Connections was stolen from a British game show called Only Connect.
Oh,
it's much harder on the British game show.
Well, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah,
I would, and I probably shouldn't say this on broadcast media, but somehow almost every episode of Only Connect is available on YouTube. So I highly recommend. That was our on the last show I worked on, our like writer's room break was watching an episode of Only Connect because
refined. What a refined writer's
room. But I highly recommend it. It is like,
I will watch.
It's just like the problem is because it's British and I think it's considered the hardest game show like around. So it's very difficult and it's further exacerbated. Like I almost think like with some study and work, I could do like an American version. And by that, I mean, and I don't even like baseball, but like so many of their things are like, which cricketer? It's just not. In my, and then like a lot of like royal family succession stuff that, again, I'm not an expert in the presidents, but if they just kind of like tilted the flavor a little more towards America, I think I would do it. And I'm not, but like the fucking British one is impossible.
Yeah, replace cricket with baseball. You know?
Yeah, I'm like kind of there.
The royal family with CEOs of American companies.
Yeah, I was like, it needs to be like Bezos. It needs to be.
Yeah, but those are our royals.
Highly recommend. Connecting Wall will make you feel like watch a bunch of, it's called the Connecting Wall, it's the third round. And once you watch a couple of those, going back to Connections will make you feel like,
oh, you're playing this on baby mode.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I can't wait. My coworkers and I used to send our connection scores. And then I would notice a friend of mine, she would just sit our entire lunch break and just stare at Connections and like would refuse to get one wrong to the point where I was just like giving her answers. So like her choices wouldn't go away.
Right.
Because it had to be perfect.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't think it interrupted her life enough to, you know, talk to a therapist about it. I mean, God willing, the worst thing in my life to talk about with a therapist is Wordle. Like, what a gift.
Yeah.
What an absolute gift. Truly. I hope to get there one day. But yeah. No, I love them. I love those games, I gotta say.
Oh, yeah. The other day, someone like showed me one of the newer ones and I was like, oh, man, I could see how this could suck me in. But I think the second, my whole thing is like, I don't like being frustrated. So the second I am, I'm like, I don't give a fuck about the comparing my shit to somebody else's. I feel fucking inept right now. Fuck that.
But the games are well designed to keep you going. That's the thing with Wordle. Like, Wordle is not designed to be a good game. It's designed to be, I want to play this tomorrow.
Well, and also because it's been a huge boon to the New York Times business. Because, like, once they bought it for, like, something like the low seven figures from, like, the engineer who put it out, they were like, we're seeing, like, adoption rates that are unprecedented, like, in the tens of millions. So
everyone think about where your Wordle money is going. Just, you know, think about
it. Yeah, right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep, to do propaganda and the like. Here we go. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk about jury duty.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Just want to touch on the Trump jury duty selection process, because that's been going on all this week in his hush money trial. We all know jury duty is the process of waiting to be called, can suck. In the pre-internet days, you used to have to take a book with you and read it in the waiting room. And I remember I would just bring screenplays with me because I was like, well, that's like a watching TV. Like, that was like my thing, was just like, go get a screenplay and just read that, like check one out from the library. Yeah.
Oh my God. You're the most LA fucking kid. That's the most bullshit thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, yeah. I'm reading the Inglourious Bastards fucking screenplay, waiting to see if I can just weasel my way out of my civic duty to potentially help a person.
Oh, it's so weird. Tarantino just wrote the N-word all the way down the margins.
Wow.
It's not really even a movie.
Damn, this dude really wrote it. Whoa. I thought he was just giving the actors the free range.
Like, oh, no.
Maybe I don't want to count. It is the most LA shit. Because, like, that's my... TV, it's TV of the mind. Just read the script and you're good. You don't need videos.
Dear Lord.
But anyway, little hack. Sometimes if you can get your jury duty moved to Burbank, it can go a lot quicker. And you'll find out much sooner rather than later. And you're right by an IKEA, so you can eat Swedish meatballs for lunch. Okay.
Delicious.
That's my thank you. Look, I knew we were all on the same page, culinarily speaking, when we all, our eyes lit up talking about Costco food hacks. There's no way that Venn diagram, there's no way that overlap is a Swedish meatball. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, when jury selection got underway on Monday, they came away with zero jurors. And like part of that too is Trump being like, I thought I had unlimited like knockout points, like where he could, say, I want to strike this one. I want to strike this one. They're like, no, you only get a set amount. And he's like, well, you should get more. Like someone playing a carnival game for the first time.
But then why did they give him more?
Wait, what? Why didn't they?
More.
Yeah.
Give him more.
That's his right. He's the president. The stakes are so much higher because he might be, you know, held accountable and maybe not based on the way we've seen these other legal cases go. But over half of the potential jurors were quickly dismissed because they all admitted they're like, yeah, I don't know if I can be impartial, to be honest. Like, I just don't. If I'm being really honest here, there's no. I'm just going to be like, yep. Yep, guilty. I don't need to hear shit. Like, let's just go in. We'll go right back out. And it seems like almost no one could ever be impartial in this case, unless you're Michael Ian Black. I think he wrote something about, he's like, I don't like Trump, but I can definitely be impartial. And I'm like, okay, we've heard enough from you.
What?
Both the defense and the prosecution have copped to the fact that it's, quote, nearly impossible to find someone with, quote, no opinion of Trump. And then by Tuesday, they picked 7 people. But that wasn't going to last because this whole process involved getting all these details out where, like, reporters were putting this information out about, like, some of the people that had been impaneled. One juror had said he already served on a jury for a case between Donald Trump and Merv Griffin in the 80s. And he was also familiar
what
with
the fuck is wrong with New York. That's crazy.
And then the same person said he was also familiar with relatives of the Central Park Five, but he was dismissed by the prosecutors because he said that he, quote, appreciated Trump's style of humor.
What?
Just a bro. Got to give it up for a fellow bro.
Yeah.
He keeps me laughing. He keeps me laughing.
It's wild. It's like, yeah, I served on that. It's like, and I also know parents of some of the Central Park Five, you know, the wrongly accused teens.
Fuck.
So that may have put a sour spot on me. But no, but also I kind of fuck
but
with
it
his,
didn't.
Kind of fuck with his humor. That might be the closest you could get to someone with no opinion on Trump.
I mean, that's like, somebody be like, I separate the art from the artist.
Yeah.
That right, was truly. That was just like 50 Timberlands in a trench coat, right? That's right. Like, how do you get there? That's 50, crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Lawyers are also working with like jury consultants who are like people who like quickly fucking comb through social media posts to be like, did they fucking, like, what did they say? So it's just, it puts people in this weird situation where like someone will go up and the jury consultants will be like, okay, here's their thing. And like, they're going to basically read out their tweets shitting on Trump,
stop,
but with Donald Trump in the fucking room.
Yeah.
So one person apparently shared a lock him up post. Another posted a meme of Trump being decapitated. Another made posts suggesting that the fictional superhero team, the Avengers, would defeat Trump. While also at the same time, this person expressed, quote, amorous thoughts for Mark Ruffalo. That was all included as they were like, and you kind of are thirsty for Mark for the Hulk, huh? Like you fucking with
this
the Hulk
is like
that.
What do we say back of the envelope? Do we imagine like billable hours is going into this?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Hundreds of thousands per hour?
Yeah.
More?
I mean, I feel like any of us could. I'm sure, I think most of us know how to comb someone's social media posts for stuff. You know?
Oh
like
my God, I could do it in a second. Yeah, I'd love it.
Yeah. I'd be like, yo, I find you anything. What? Because I know ways they might word shit. You know what I mean? It might not always be Trump, baby. You need to search orange. You need to search mushroom. There's a lot of other keywords that you need to look up to get to the bottom of this. So, yeah, the other thing is, too, obviously, there's concerns also that the jurors who do get selected could face harassment because Trump even himself was admonished by the court for intimidating candidates by, you know, the judge like, yo, what the fuck? This is no, shut the fuck up. And this is, we actually need to keep this as anonymous as possible. And one former federal prosecutor has expressed concerns over the safety of jurors because, quote, they're not supposed to be outed in this way, by having all this information. And the media is, it's like they're going out of their fucking way to expose the selected jurors as much as humanly possible without actually giving their names. Like the Washington Post referenced the length of time that a juror worked at a small bookstore. Also named the bookstore before deleting the info. And then like on Fox News, Jesse Waters was going through every juror one by one, giving all of this information except for a name and suggesting Trump wouldn't be getting a fair trial because they were all like teachers and New York Times readers. And you know, then when he said, they're all people who like to dance. Like,
yeah.
What the fuck is this? Footloose? And then
can't be
Trump,
dancing.
Trump later was like, yeah, I get it, man. They're all undercover, quote, undercover liberal activists. But anyway, it's the other thing is, too, there was this other woman who's like, she had to come back after she was selected. She's like, I need to resign from the position because there was so much information. My family was like, this you? Like, because they said, like, where I worked, where I lived, what my job was. It was enough information for people who knew me to be like, oh, this is homegirl. So right now they're in a fucking weird bind. And the judge that's presiding over the case, quote, immediately reprimanded the press for offering too much information about the jurors and told them to please stop talking about like these details because you're fucking up. You're putting them at risk. And you're also at this point, there's going to be a rat jury probably by the end of this.
Listen, I was going to suggest a rat jury. I think that would be.
That would be a jury of his peers.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Just get the all your Wordle money is going into paying for this. So,
hey, man. Look, got improvisers here. That's how you elegantly wrap up a nice old, like, not a Spoon River or Herald. But look, pick whatever form you want because we brought it all back here. Katie Kershaw, thank you so much for joining us on the Daily Zeitgeist. It was great having you. Where do people find you, follow you, and is there a work of social media that you've been enjoying?
You can follow me at This Is Katie Kershaw. And you can also check out the pod at Jocular Pod on Instagram and TikTok. And the piece of social media I've been enjoying is kind of a person. Her name's Carrie Levine, and she's the godmother of diamonds. And it's just, do you know her?
I feel like I've heard this name. I need to see the face.
So. I love her. I watch her. They're the most soothing videos. Just the most New York woman.
Yes. With the hair. Yes, yes.
The hair.
I want
Uncut Gems 2 starring the godmother of diamonds.
Yeah.
She's phenomenal. Cannot recommend it enough.
Got the cigar and everything.
Yeah. She's got the pictures. Yeah. She's everyone's godmother.
There's so many. Perfect. It's funny because there's so many godmother of something on social media these days that I'm like, which one's the godmother of travel? Oh, the godmother of diamonds. Yes. Okay. Yes.
I'm familiar with that godmother.
Yeah. So many. We have so many godmothers. Thank you. And thanks. Shout out to all the godmothers out there.
Truly.
Also, what are your favorite teams? I forgot to ask you, as someone who talks about sports, do you have a favorite sport or do you have a favorite team? Like, what's your...
My favorite sport is basketball. Uh-huh. I would say my favorite team in college is going to be South Carolina because I love Dawn Staley so much. I just love to watch her coaching. It's insane. And professionally, I got to say the Sparks.
Hey,
and I'm hoping that this year we can really kind of rebuild. We've got some really great people coming into the Sparks. And then Angel City is my soccer team.
Yeah. Maybe we'll win another game.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, that
come
would be
on,
great.
Come on.
Maybe.
Hey, we're struggling in LA right now. We're struggling in LA.
It's rough.
You know what I mean?
It's been rough.
It's been rough.
Angel City has been a bummer. I did not realize I hadn't been watching the televised games and my seats are not close enough to really see the bench. I did not realize how much of a British lady the Angel City head coach is. I don't remember her name, but I I love her. I was just like, oh, she looks like she just woke up in Ibiza. I'm fucking
I
love this vibe.
Passed out,
look, rolled up and was like, let's go, let's fucking go.
I was like, oh yeah, we got a fucking chav. Hell yeah.
We're getting 3 points today, isn't it?
One day it worked out out there.
Oh boy. Andrew, where do people find you, follow you, hear you, and what's the work of social media that you've been digging?
Oh my god, just Andrew T, I guess. Yo, is this racist? I forgot it was social media, so instead I'm gonna do
any media,
the literal opposite of social media. I watched this movie last night that I think is like not easy to find, but they were showing it at Alamo, a Japanese movie from 1995 called Anatomia Extinction. It's only 55 minutes long. Okay. It's the prequel to Tokyo Gore Police. And it was a delight. It was fucking crazy.
Wow. I can only imagine what some of these special effects were.
Yeah, real weird special effects. Real, like, kind of, like, from 90s Japan, medium budge.
Right.
Yeah, just, like, bizarre.
Okay. Okay. Well, can people still catch that, or was that like a
I doubt it
kind of showing? Well, hey, Try and catch the next one. That's why you got to be on your P's and Q's, bruv. You can, let's see, a work of social media. I don't have a work of social media that I've been enjoying per se. Oh, I've been playing a video game that's called Rise of the Ronin. It's another samurai thing, and it's fun. That's all I can say. It's actually it's funny. I was telling a friend of mine, it's the most Japanese designed game. Like, I can tell the second I look at a menu, the way a menu is laid out, I'm like, oh, this is designed in Japan. Or like, if it's way too detail oriented, I'm like, this is the right dose of Japanese game design that most American people would be like, how come sprint isn't when you push down the left stick? Because that, you know, there's a literacy to gaming in the West that we experience. Anyway, so I'm playing that. Give me your tips. I'm terrible at counter sparking. If you play the game, you know what that means. But let me know, how do I get the timing better? You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter, Instagram, and the like. You can find Jack and I on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. And you can also find me on the 90 Day Fiancé podcast, 420 Day Fiancé. And let's see. Oh, you can also find the show at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We've got a Facebook fan page, website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Thank you. Where we post all the links to all of the articles that we talked about today, as well as a song we're going to ride out on. I'm feeling a little bit, I long to be back in Japan with my friends and family. So let's go out. I want to encourage people, this song is great, but the music video is fucking even better. And most of the people, if you're like online a lot and you know about cool stuff online, you've probably seen this video. It's by a band called Sakanaction. It's spelled Sakanation, like sakana, which is the Japanese word for fish. Anyway, but action. Put that together however you like. The title is going to be even harder for you to spell. So let me first say it, and then I will spell it out. The title is Wasurerarenaiyo. Wasurerarenaiyo means I can't forget. It's unforgettable. And the way you spell that, W-A-S-U-R-E-R-A-R-E. N-A-N-O-N-A-I-N-O. Wasurerarenaino.
I got hypnotized by that.
I know. I'm a mentalist. Yeah. And sleep. Just everybody down. Dude, the video is great because they really lean into like this like early 90s, late 80s sort of camera style with green screen. And it's all one continuous shot. And the bassist is so fucking good. Anyway, it's a great band. Great video. Check it out. Rewind it if you need me to spell it again, because I can't spell it again without putting people to sleep. That's going to do it for us this week. We will be back on Monday to tell you what's trending over the weekend. Make sure you can check out the best of episode on Saturday so you can get just a helping of all the best bits throughout the week if you don't have time to listen to all the episodes. And that'll do it. We will talk to you later. Bye-bye.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.